In the Moonless Valley, there is a garden that you and the other students have been tending. It contains precious plants that grow only in places untouched by the moon. They're all night blooming, and in perfect darkness they project their purple light around them into the grove where you have placed them. The grove is actually an expansion of the path. You can't go off the path in the Moonless Valley, in the Moonless Woods, where every single thing is likely to set you up for an arousing time that you might or might not remember. Off the path are no dangers to your life, just to, well, your timing, your schedule. Because quite frankly, everything here is alluring, sensual, and some things are more ancient than others. Some things wait and watch, and many wield magics of their own. So instead of going off the path, you've very deliberately made something on the path, expanding an existing clearing so that it can be a place where you're able to place your plants and have them not be a problem, not be taken or eaten by anything locally, not be harvested by anyone for their own ritual purposes. The path is safe. Or at least it had been until tonight. The heavy sack on your back is more than suitable to carry tonight's cuttings. The air ahead of you is lit by magical lighting that flows from the dirt path itself. And you see that one of the garden beds has been despoiled. Something has taken from it. And here, nearby, there is a mark, a circular diagram, laid out in detail. It is blazoned with a symbol of draining. Whatever is taking your plants is also sucking the innate growth magic that all of you have put in here. This is a group project for extra credit, with many of the alchemy professors giving you extra marks for showing up with rare finds they themselves don't even know the origin of, a well-kept secret, and warded against intruders. But here, someone has been strong enough to enter, and taken just a little bit, and then placed a siphoning sigil to make your fertilization efforts less effective in future. You recognize the diagram as one that hides itself, so it is highly likely that if you had come on any other day, at any other time, you would not have found it and would have wasted a lot of effort over the coming months, and whatever did this might come back. You need to go identify it so that you could scan for its marks in future. Or possibly so you can put an end to it, depending on where the creature in question falls on the various scales and treaties. In short, on whether it's supposed to be in these woods in the first place. It doesn't really take you much time at all to locate the source of this despoiling. You shoulder your backpack, which carries your protective charms to insulate you against anything that might befall you in the forest, and turn yourself toward the single path that leads on to the east. And you see there, at the far end, the cause of this mischief in your garden. The figure ahead of you is wearing a beautiful dress. That's the first thing you notice. Not fangs or claws, not the wolf grin, not the leaves adorning its shoulders, which you're not entirely sure are a cloak, for the branches, no vines, which feed into them, are moving on their own. The dress is white, and is the only bright thing in this place, this moonless place beyond. The halo and corona of light around it pulls your gaze, beckons to you, potent, powerful, otherworldly. Nearer. Just a little nearer. We are both nearer, both closer, but we could be closer together and nearer in thought, nearer in purpose. There is a purpose, there is a plan. Come see my purpose, come be my plan. It's like that, a constant sing-song patter. Not with her mouth, because you can see her mouth isn't moving, even with your eyes half-lidding and glazing over. Instead, whatever she is projecting is a harmonic, internalized, ever-cyclical, pausing just so, continuing just so, message right into your nervous system. You let it float you away, drifting on its intent. So much so, fascinated, you notice there's a path underneath the floating figure, a path which winds away, but a path nonetheless, and any path in these woods is mostly protected against trouble. It must needs be careful to do so. Not it. She. She, a gorgeous she, closer, yes. Did she say something about closeness? Did she say it on purpose? Purpose. You are so focused on making conclusions about your quarry that you step in something warm and potent. A circle. One of the circles you've been following so far. You realize you can see them, but based on the slow way she's drifting along, maybe your quarry cannot. It's only when the trap takes hold of you that you realize, despite being captivated by the figure, you couldn't say anything other than that it was a vaguely feminine and very beautiful figure, nothing about its nature, no specific feature, a complete lack of details, drawing you in nonetheless. The muzzy, fuzzy contact high, just to think of her, her. Herself, resonant, radiant lady of this wood, of this forest, you have thoughts about her, memories. You wouldn't give them up for the world if only you could remember what they are. They are there. You definitely gained them. But to attempt to gain purchase on them, to attempt to make their evaluation, is to feel your thoughts slide slippery away in a shower of sublime unconcern. You are continuing, or you were continuing to follow, before the trap. Traps. Magical. Just a little circle on the ground, that's right. You're standing right on it, standing right in it. There's one thing you know you're not supposed to do when you're inside a magical trap. You just can't quite remember. You feel warm fur along your shoulders, your arms. Oh, lovely, this forest was causing troubles for you, as cold as it was. A tingling spreads onto your scalp, warm, constant. You feel something falling down your back, longer, bristly. Hair? A mane? Why did you think mane? Oh, right. The main thing you have to do when you've stepped into a trap diagram is get out of it. You eventually do jump out, hearing the click of your hooves on the path as you land nimbly. You shiver through your shoulders, powerful muscles pumping, happy with your own prowess, knowing you could dance along, gamble along, and you do, clicking on your hooves, moving in a circle, enjoying. All right. There she is, still drifting in the distance, getting further away. Time to carry on. Time to follow. Track. Chase. The idea of chasing something appeals to you. You get the sense you would once have looked from side to side, but you focus on the path ahead of you. In the distance, floating, the gorgeous, ephemeral woman. It's not a chase, it's a race, to test yourself warmly against another. You toss your mane, your muscles steaming in the cool air. The stream and flow, the running trail, the path ahead so straight and clear. Surely you can catch her now, with your hooves pumping and your powerful muscles carrying you along. You exult, exhort, let out a sound, a braying high sound. You're following, following. Following and carrying your backpack with its equipment and its herbs, but you think less of them and more just of the movement, carrying burdens but running free, the pat of your hooves, the simplicity of your body in action, the ease of following through on motions well laid in your muscles, your long ears laying flat to your head as you move and move. Follow, carrying a nice burden, pleasantly bearing it, your body vital, your body warm. Moving easily in pursuit. Ha! You're catching up to her, much faster than before. Your movement along is simple and easy. Your hooves, your strong pumping leg muscles, the strength that comes of feeling the fatigue, but knowing you have vast reserves beyond this, you could go and go and keep going and never stop it. Oh! A warm wave crosses over you. You feel your long ears droop, your muzzle dopey and open. A simple wave, a smile. Wonderful. Washing over you. It's lovely out here in the woods. Ever so lovely. The trees are lovely. The needle-toothed figure in the silvery gown floating far ahead of you, her tendrils waving in the lack of light. She is lovely. Everything about this is lovely, and you would love if it continued forever. Standing still, pacified, placidified, empty mind. You consider leaving and see. There are so many more symbols along the path. The figure isn't being stopped by them, but you were. That makes sense if she put them there. But why struggle? Why fight? If only she were leading you somewhere nice, a stable, a stall, a static location where you could glazedly, dazedly graze and be groomed and massaged, curried and prepared. Your body feels heavy, warm, compliant, pliable. Why struggle? Why the struggling? Some bit of you places its flag up, your tail swishing to and fro. Oh, you should step out of this pretty circle of silver-black dust. This trap? But is it a trap? You try extending one hoof, and you see you can easily step out of it. You giggle, yeehaw, a braying sound different from your usual. It's still nice, it's still cute, you're a cute pet. And look, you could step out of the circle if you wanted to, and that means you don't have to, because a trap is something you can't get out of, and obviously you could get out of it, so obviously you don't have to, because obviously it's not a trap. Those words all sound a little brighter and smarter than your current thought process, but you're willing to accept it. It gives you a sense of belonging to stay where you're at. Cute pets should belong to someone. They should belong somewhere. If you belong to someone, this easy, steady movement would be your fate every day. Oh, finally something that makes you consider leaving the circle. She's getting further and further away. Maybe you should run after. Maybe you should follow. Yes, being close to that nice lady with the shiny black eyes and the sharp, sharp teeth, that's a good reason to give chase. You want to be close to her. You want to be close to anything that looks like it might own a happy pet. You want something deeper, warmer. Your muscles pump. You step out of the circle. You move so easily. It's different from before. Now you're aware of the fatigue, of your powerful thighs pumping, of your hooves clattering on the stones occasionally interspersed across the path. But you also know you could go for a long time. You know you have wells of endurance that run deep, that the pleasant burn in your muscles is a reward rather than a hindrance. Striding on and on. Moving on and through. You have a choice of when to stop. The burn of fatigue, the heat in your muscles, it began early, but you started too late. Your vision is narrowed and locked ahead, never looking left or right. You no longer see the silvery lady. She's faded out of sight. You consider stopping, but why stop? The path goes on and ever on. Your tail swishes the back of your legs. The backpack you're wearing appears to be the only item of clothing which survived the traps, but your body's fur still keeps you nice and warm. The hairs on your hide, comforting, encapsulating. You could stop, but why stop? Where is there to stop? The lady isn't visible anymore. Oh, you see, a cottage. A bray. An excited hee-haw escapes you, not caring what in the woods you might alert. The clip-clop of your hooves can alert anything at all. You'll be fast enough, body pumping and proceeding through the wood, fast enough to outrun it. The shadows from the branches fall across light, light provided only by the curse marks, the traps, the source of the wonderful muscular burn you feel as you stride ahead. You avoid them of this one looks kind of pretty. It's between you and the cottage. You might as well step into, it's between you and the cottage. You know one more will be enough. You know one more will be too much. One more trap will cement the changes. Three is an important number. Two is already so potent, already so much. That looks nice. That looks nice. That looks familiar. You could be a familiar. Familiar, but never before witnessed. Oh, the door is open. And there, at last, someone to serve, someone whose pet you can be. This sense arrives suddenly, potently, standing in the door. Short but muscled is a woman in a black silk robe. She has little tusks, rounded, handsome features. Her hands are calloused. She holds a shimmering silver wand in one hand, but puts it aside when she sees you. And you want her. You inhale the scent of cinnamon and lime, of mushroom and leaf mold. The cottage is clean and strange and home all into one. To see her is to want her. Your powerful senses, your muscles working, you stand glistening and bare in that moonless place, the light of her magical lanterns the only thing picking you out. You are going to go inside. You have always been destined to go inside. You know there is no choice, and she confirms that. You're not who I expected to see. You might as well come in, then. Of course you comply. Right inside the squat, broad building, with its racks of herbs hanging from the ceiling, with its magical instruments on every table, with its huge low bed with cats looking at you from numerous corners. Right inside. You pause, of course waiting to be directed to your place. You can come in as well, says the moonless witch. You smile vaguely, not knowing or caring who she's talking about or to. Your hooves feel strange on the floor of the cottage, and when she takes your backpack off you and puts it aside, you say nothing, do nothing, as your protective charms are stripped from you. You think once you might have. You wonder how much those charms protected you, kept it from being one trap alone being enough to change you before you got anywhere near here. Those traps were sublime. A hiss from behind you. You don't turn your head, but the hand on your shoulder guides you further into the cottage, and so you obey. You wonder if you should get on hands and knees. That would be normal. Hooves and hooves, rather. That would be right. No, you wait. You wait to be told what to do, where to go, how to be. Quietly, you bray a little hee-haw, more a passive noise than anything else, but it makes your eyes glaze with pleasure and your body throb to exult in the correct way, in the right way. And you do, on and on, enjoying moment by moment, enjoying just being where and who and with as you are. A tendril wraps down around your shoulder, tentacles spreading in the room, covering the surfaces nearest the door. They are green and glistening. You shiver at the venom of their touch. It feels amazing. One clawed hand runs through your mane, explores the hair of your body, presses you forward, and you do lean forward across a small table that was at waist height just inside the door. It is very sturdy and conveniently bare. Thrills in your skin, across your flesh, being handled, being positioned. Your braying continues, and both women chuckle to themselves at your cute display, wondering precisely what they're going to do to you, as you're pulled by your mane, one claw curling under your chin. You wait, waiting, throbbing. The creature behind you begins to speak, just as the muscled orc woman in front of you raises her dress, pauses, thinks for a moment, then throws it off entirely. From your face-down position laid across the table, you can look up enough to see that she's very curvy. Though her form is very muscled, you got the impression before, but you can now see definition in her arms and legs, her tightly muscled abdomen, and you see her length dangling in front of you, her pussy behind it, dripping, and in front of it, above it, faintly green like the rest of her skin, a thickly veined cock, right in front of you, standing up. You can see her curvy hips and her huge breasts brought into sight. But in front of you, her length hangs right in front of your eyes. The scent you detected before magnifies. But she doesn't let you near it, even though you're extending your tongue, desperately welcoming her into your muzzle, lashing your tail, moving to and fro, wiggling your hips. Instead, she takes each of your arms, legs, hooves, and positions them on the table through little slots that let you stand on all fours, despite being slightly off the ground. Perfect up and down, aimed legs and arms. Accidentally, or perhaps on purpose, the table leaves your mouth and ass exposed, and is shaped such that someone can stand right against you. Perfect, because she then pushes her cock against your face, letting you inhale directly. Stars, heat, sparks. The two women have a conversation over top of you, as hands with very careful claws begin to grope your butt and flanks. I was surprised you asked me inside, hisses the creature who is holding, no, handling you. Holding suggests she's having to prevent you from struggling, but you are more than happy to just go with the flow where you're commanded to go. Physical positioning is even better. It's simple. It's direct. You are just where you should be. Sweat stands out on your skin as you begin to shiver in arousal. I must ask, says the woman behind you. How are your traps so good, my dear, now that we're on speaking terms again? Looking at those traps, I was almost tempted to fly into them, and only feeding this creature to them allowed me to pass. My magic is communication, says the witch, slapping her cock against your cheek and then rubbing it over your lips, leaving the impression of her shining fluids, like lip gloss. I am a storyteller, says the witch, sliding one finger in the corner of your mouth and causing it to open, bringing you to drool out your muzzle. The witch moans, because then your tongue finally does find its way onto that musky shaft, the cinnamon sneaking into your mind, her obviously enchanted pheromones doing their job so easily, making every act of worshipful attention more pleasurable than it already would be. She keeps explaining between moans, while the bulbous head of her cock slides into your mouth, and she begins to fuck your throat, which you find very easy, the tip sliding deep into your muzzle, you sucking and slurping. It's like you're made for this. She gestures at the table, allowing it to slide downward, moving closer to the floor, and all four of your hooves touch down. A curse is just a story, explains the witch between moans provoked by your tongue. Maybe you'd have fun, she says, addressing this to the mind, a stranger behind you. Maybe you'd have fun as an ass in my service. Just another piece of ass, isn't it tempting? Ah, grunts the orc witch, chuckling at her own pun as you lavish attention on her cock, loving every inch of it. And she barely manages to maintain enough focus to keep explaining. You manage to push your tongue past, it seems longer now, and lick at the lips of her pussy. At the base of the shaft, she grunts, and you feel a trail of pre-cum ooze from the tip and onto your tongue. You swallow eagerly. Still, just one set of traps, and no thanks, I think I'd rather take this ass than be one, says the creature behind you, who is slowly winding one vine underneath you, wrapping it around you like an artful harness that pulls at your shoulders, at your abdomen, at your butt, and makes everything just feel tight and on display. You feel more like a display piece with those vines wrapped around you than you did without them. They're also giving you plenty to grind against while you're used as a set of holes between the two, because you feel a vine slap your ass. It's every bit as thick as the cock you're sucking on, and it's slowly circling your rear entrance. The witch keeps explaining, groaning, bucking, leaking constantly now that you're licking at her. There wasn't one set of traps, there were a dozen, and the ones most suited to any given individual are shown to them. I guess you make a good beast of burden, too, if you could see these ones. The creature behind you laughs. I could see different ones, but I was able to float in the middle and not touch anything. You make them visible to the right person, not invisible. That's where you always went wrong, groans the orc as you keep sucking. Start bobbing your mouth on and off, your muzzle on and off. The creature behind you spreads your ass cheeks, the tip of that one vine beginning to circle, drooling a glorious substance, then massaging it in with heat, with need, and then a spreading relaxation which floods up from your lower body and commands you, ordering you, the pure essence of the thing. Your ass feels so comfortable, relaxed, easy to surrender to the vine she's now filling you with, which is still spurting the same stuff, lubing your insides, making them heated, warm, also making bits inside of your ass involuntarily convulse around it. When they can see the trap, it can tempt them with its promise. Honest communication is far more effective than trickery. Oh, I have to agree to disagree there, says the vine-wielding creature, corkscrewing the spurting appendage inside your ass left and right, to and fro, and setting your eyes rolling as you deliberately push yourself further onto the witch's cock, licking what of her pussy lips you can reach at the base as the length in your mouth begins to dribble so constantly it might as well be a faucet. Onto your tongue, you swallow, you take it all down, take it all in. It is delicious, she is delicious, and she is slowly twining one hand in your mane, directing you, guiding you, as you scrape your hooves on the floor, squeezing, clenching, pleasure as your ass clenches down and then asks for more, begs for more, your hips move in a way that begs for more. And the creature behind you seems more than happy to oblige, because there are other places its vines may play. Well, they don't seem inclined to go back, so I'll just keep them until the curse mostly wears off. Then see if they want to be one of my little toys. The witch gestures off toward one of the cats in a corner, and you hear a rustling sound. Yes, mistress, comes a servile but cheerful voice, edged with mischief. Nothing, Vicky. I was just indicating you might have a new companion. An equine? Why would you make anything but a cat, mistress? Oof! The sound of magic sliding through the air, and then, groaning, moaning, panting from the corner where the cat was speaking. The witch then, having disciplined her familiar with pleasure, turns back to her vined companion who is currently pleasing your ass in rhythmic slow thrusts and moving her vines down onto your length as well. Leslie? Yes? Asks the fanged wild creature who followed you here. So Leslie is her name. She responds to it anyway. I can feel your mark on this one. I can tell you're trying to sneak magic into my home and it won't matter. Who, me? I just put that there so I can fuck them from time to time. I haven't come this hard in ages. This is going to be good. I guess I can share, but put that garden back where you found it. No stealing from it. The students are foolish and I can steal plants regularly. You wonder what the one behind you means about coming. And then you feel it. Something's been working up her vine. Something now slides into your ass, spreading it. You're still lubricated, still relaxed. So it goes increasingly fast, increasingly intense. But it only feels good. Her load is sliding to the end of the vine, squirting, painting your insides with a thicker, warmer, convulsion-inducing fluid. It's clearly meant to make whatever she mates with feel amazing, so it'll mate with her more. You know this in an instant as the stuff squirts. Maybe it's something from your plant classes at school, but your climax is immediate. Your length squirts between her vine, squirts onto the floor, painting it with thick, viscous ropes of your seed. The climax runs to your brain, invades it, fills it, fulfills it, rides you. You are being ridden by your own climax, which is mechanical, automatic, and being induced by her squirting. And she's groaning still a little. You realize her moans as she fucked you with the vine were because she was getting off on you being fucked by her. And that's marvelous. You feel so proud of making her come. She is moaning still a little. I guess I can share, like I said. And any time we get into a fight, we can crack open one of my familiars on this table and use them like a toy, just like this. When you thrust, the throat clamps down, you know. It's lovely. You're doping them so nicely. This hole is relaxed and easy. I can fuck really hard. You really do smell good, says Leslie from behind, as the orcish witch fucks into your throat, and you taste her fluids, which carry the same dosing ability as her pheromones. The one behind you fucks harder, slicking your anal entrance, sliding a vine around your cock and jerking it. As dosed and doped as you are, lost on pheromones and on the mysterious lubricant and load of cum from the one behind you that has made you able to take that thick vine-like cock on purpose, intentionally, because you're spreading and relaxing your ass more and more intentionally, you feel the woman lean over you from behind and bite your shoulder lightly, one fang, only pleasure. Your entire body roils on her poison. Your mind is lost and tumbling. The glory of being her plaything, of being their toy, of being spit-roasted and bounced back and forth with your cock swaying beneath you. But the climax from before that painted the floor seems to have drained you, and another won't happen. Even though your core feels sore, your buttocks are clenching, and your ass feels like she's hitting your button over and over, your cock is rehardened, banging against the underside of the table, leaving dripping, sticky patches. It feels longer than it was before, thicker, and the pleasure from it as it drools slowly onto the floor overtakes your reason. You want to come, you bray it out. You want to come, you let it out. You cry out with your craving, but she deliberately denies you, reaching around to put her thumb and forefinger and a vine aside around the base of your cock and keep it held there, locked there, kept from climax. Your ass is being slammed, your prostate massaged in and out, the sweated, gasping heat of your ass being fucked. Let us come. It's a plea, and it's coming from the creature behind you, the moaning goddess of the forest, whose claws dig into your thighs as she bottoms out, who is occasionally dosing you with more venom. Her cock is throbbing, pushing and pulsing. It's a vine, but you realize it comes like an appendage. You desperately lavish more attention, deep-throating the hot, hard piggy witch's cock in front of you, as she too bottoms out in your throat, moans and squirts. And when she comes, her spell is broken. You and the woman behind you both squirt. She a second time, you for the first, for a little bit, because you thought you were coming before, but that was just the prelude. That was just what happens when this new cock gets hard. Now you're coming. There's a salty flood across your tongue that emphasizes your climax, taking your senses with it. Whatever gorgeous material is in her scent, it is way thicker in this load of her fluids. You melt in the waves of her. You melt and surrender. Your cock gets harder, harder, unspeakably, impossibly harder, bouncing against the underside of the table. You spurt, you squirt, you finally squirt, helpless, climactic. It's so hard, so hot that you think it thuds against the underside of the table when you spurt, and you're helpless, climactic, emptying your balls. You moan. Your length seems so thick, so full, so impossibly good. You're lost in the way it feels for her to press into your mouth. And bottomed out inside of you, Leslie squirts. The moonless witch squirts and squirts as you empty her. The scent of her cunt nearby fills your mind as her climax arrives, everything about her impossibly potent, tighter and tighter inside your body as you push forward, trying to delve into warm holes or fuck your way between fingers that are no longer there. You squirt impossibly, long and thick streams you know are pooling, know are clinging, know are dripping from the underside of the table back onto your shaft and from there to the floor. You seek with your tongue, incessant, questing, searching. Desperate. Every drop of the witch's seed must be consumed. You swallow the warm, salty, mind-numbing stuff, your body pushed into intense, mesmerized gracelessness. You are a squirming mess, and your mind is vanishing into heat, exhaustion, need. All for... Why are you doing this? Oh, because you love it. Good donkey. That'll do, says the woman in front of you, and you feel her hand touch between your long ears, which flatten, your eyes lid, your mouth open, still wrapped around her cock, of course, but when she slips free and you feel her softening member slide out, you offer no resistance. How could you resist? The heat and spark of her hand massaging you, running through your mane, currying through your hair. Oh, it's so good. Euphoric. She called you good. You're good. You're a good donkey. Yes. She's making space for you outside, she says. She'll keep you, use you, relieve her need. The cats get exhausted too easily, and you have endurance. She'll make up a room for you in the guest house. Yes, yes, so lucky. Although you'd rather be at the foot of her bed, which you try to say as you just bray, the hee-haw of it filling your head. It's good. It's so good. Yes, yes, so lucky. Her thickness, the firm inches of her veined prick, the smell of her ingrained in you, resting your head on her muscled thigh, worshipping her, worshipping these and more than these. Every thought that creeps into your mind leaves you lost and pleasured, over-pleasured, gone far. But even though she's done, the creature behind you keeps thrusting, vine moving in and out, every sign of vast pleasure, every moan filling the air, taking you both to places where your minds drop out, you and the woman behind you both gone in it, helplessly, her long pleasure-dispensing vine sliding in and out of you as long as she can still please you, please herself, use you for herself. You crest another impossible wave of pleasure. The waking world is frail and vanishing, while the dreamlike cock-sleeve reverie is alive and well. When she slides out, you lose your last tether to consciousness, and with it all resistance to the very concept of any fate other than being fucked silly is gone. Any thought other than being taken and claimed is gone. But the end of consciousness is not the end of change, not the end of the curse. You know it will stay alive and well in you. You can feel it. This is only the beginning. And you know it as surely as you know that your rehardening cock will be trained, made to throb, will do fine work upon your fertile mind, even in the fields of exhausted slumber. It feels so good. It feels sublime. Gone and going. Gone and going, fallen and falling, further and further, down, deeper and deeper, every moment, every day, every time that she focuses on you, you will be more what you're meant to be, and the marks made of having her in your mouth, of having, oh, Leslie, fuck your ass slow, of the vine entity that's going to use you, the gorgeous witch that's going to use you, of being useful, of having a purpose, of your endurance being prized, of you having so much that you can do, so many good things that you can do. It's all just what you needed. It's all just what you've always wanted. Your craving sated. In a haze, you feel yourself being slowly cleaned up, slowly, pleasingly freed from all exertion, all remnants. Slowly, you are brought to the limit of pleasure and relaxed, brought to the limit and relaxed, your body massaged, your mind melting away. It's wonderful, absolutely wonderful to be slowly washed, cleaned, massaged, It's wonderful to be in the exact state you need to be in, which is under the influence of this curse, this spell, this change, this new perfection. Your mouth, your ass, your cock, used for pleasure, used for their purpose, bringing purpose and pleasure into your life in a way it never was before. You moan, thinking of moving in here, thinking of being available for her to use, thinking of her appetite. Oh, her cock is against your lips, letting you lick it, letting you suck it good. You wanted that. You were craving that. It feels cathartic to get to taste it, get to have it, get to feel it. You didn't before. You didn't really get to luxuriate, really just to get to spend time with her length, giving her pleasure. You want to give her pleasure. It feels good to give her pleasure. And so you will, and so you do. Slow, constant, easy. Good. Good. Your body's cleaned. Your mind is washed as well. Everything about you is being brought to a place of peace and rest. You feel yourself laid down in soft sheets, warm blankets. Everything is well and good. Everything is right and proper. This is how it should be, deeper down. This is how it should be. As a good donkey, you've done well. You did enough. And now you get your just desserts, your rewards, which is being right where you are, just what you are, and being usefully, constantly, pleasurably fucked until exhaustion, along with whatever else she wants. You taste her. You smell her, you indulge in her, and she in you, just as it should be.